A story about this woman that had lost her son and was obviously grieving. And notice in our text as well that when the Lord entered Nain and he went to the city, he was with his disciples. And the Bible tells us that there were much people with him. But also notice that with this woman, the Bible says that she was a widow in verse 12, and much people of the city was also with her. Because in our story this morning, we find that there are two groups of people, and they're represented, number one, by the Lord Jesus Christ. As he entered, the Bible says again that there were disciples and there was much people. And when I think of that, I think of perhaps, obviously, his disciples who have been following and serving him, and they're training under his ministry. But there are others that perhaps have heard the gospel or have witnessed the miracles, and they're you know, just following the Lord Jesus, excited, and they're full of joy. And because in the day of Christ, the religious landscape was such that there were a lot of religions and there were a lot of religious leaders that really didn't make a difference in the lives of people. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, he had a different message. It was a powerful message. And yes, they saw the power of God through the miracles, but they also saw the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he spoke with great authority, and he was making a difference. It was just something different about him when he entered this world as he ministered on this earth. And I believe those are what we see, the much people, and they're following him. And that group is represented with joy and excitement and just something new and something they found life through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also see another group of people here in verse number 12 with this widow woman, the other much people. And you have to understand that this woman is evidently grieving, and there were a lot of people in that town that were grieving with her. If you look and notice that she not only lost her son, but in the past had lost her husband. Back in the Bible times, in the Jewish context, today you can, you know, there's a lot of assistance and there's a lot of help that you can get when you're in that situation. But back in the Bible times, and especially in a Jewish culture, her future is in question, and she's probably troubled by her, and obviously love her son. And so the much people with her were grieving with her. And I believe this group of people represents, as we see, death, and we see hopelessness. And basically, they're about to just go and bury this young man and going to a dead end, literally, just going through the motions, perhaps, in their lives. And they're just doing what they knew best, and it that's characterized with hopelessness and no joy and no peace in their lives. And so we look at people today, and perhaps you can identify with this, that there are those that have known Christ, and perhaps God has transformed their life. They've seen the joy, and they know the peace through the Prince of Peace, and their lives have been transformed. Christ made a difference in their lives, but there are also others, perhaps, and you know them, and perhaps that's you today. You're going through life, and you're not really sure about eternal life, and your life's characterized by having no joy and no peace in your life, and no direction. And we'll see here when these two groups of people kind of intersect in their lives, and when these two groups of people meet, and we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously we knew that he knew what was going to happen, and he knew that divine appointment that he was going to meet this woman that's grieving. And I want to show you today what happens when our lives intersect with Christ, when we meet Christ at the crossroad. And perhaps you're even a Christian today, and I don't know what happened, perhaps in your life, something that was devastating, someone perhaps said something that was hurtful, or something in your life, circumstances that kind of detracted you, and you lost that joy, and you've kind of gone over to the other side. And I want to challenge you today that God wants you over here, and he wants to give you joy. And you know, God never promises an easy life, and God never promised a life void of any kind of problems, but he does promise peace. He does promise that in the midst of our turmoil, we can trust in him. And so I want to show you here in this passage a simple truth, what happened when we meet Christ at the crossroad when we're living for the Lord. And number one, if you're taking notes, we see that when we meet Christ at the crossroad, it alleviates our distress. In verse 13, the Bible describes again this woman that the Lord Jesus Christ came to her. And the Bible says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Now, obviously, we know what the Lord's about to do. You know, I've been in a ministry. I've had many opportunities to preach the gospel in a funeral setting and so on. But in the years that I've done that, I've never said those two words. Just don't cry. You know, sometimes. But we do know that the Lord was about to do, because he had the power to do it. And obviously, we see here a woman that is just under distress. I've described already her current situation and really what's going to happen perhaps to her, because she had lost her husband and now had lost her son, and she was under distress. But as we see her brokenness and as we see her heart breaking and the situation that's in her circumstances in her life, and as we look at this life and that the very reason that there are heartbreaks and the very reason we have so much trouble and so much sin or so much heartbreak in our world today really is because of that problem of sin. And the reason for her distress was that problem of sin. And in fact, the very reason there's death and the very reason that there's heartbreak is because of sin. And when the Lord created this world, the world was perfect, and he created it. But when he created man, he didn't create man to be like robots. He didn't program them to just do right and to worship him. In fact, that's not true worship. That's not true love and sacrifice to the Lord. So God gave the first man and woman choice. And the Lord said, you can have everything. And you know the story. In this garden, except for one, that tree, and you cannot have that. And obviously, again, fast forward into the story, we have the advantage to look at that they disobeyed, and because of that one disobedience, man has been cursed with sin. And the world would not like to admit that, and they like to kind of polish things. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible says that we're all sinners. And because of our sin, there's a wage for that, and there's a payment for that. When I was a young Christian, I read that verse for the first time. I said, you know, when I think of wage, I think of a salary, right? Many of you work or are currently working or you're perhaps retired, but you understand the concept that when you work 40 hours, you deserve to be paid 40 hours for the work week that you work, and forever whatever extra hours you put in, it is what you deserve. And sin and the punishment for sin is death, because that's what we deserve. And the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners and by nature, and that's really the reason why we see this woman heartbreaking, and that's the reason that there's so much turmoil in our lives because of the sin in this world. But notice also, not only there's a reason for distress, but there is a remedy for her distress. Jesus Christ makes the difference in our lives. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, and you can try your best to be a moral person, and you can try your best even to go to church and to be a good neighbor and to be a person that has good reputation in this world. But the fact of the matter is, without the Lord and without his sacrifice, where the Bible says that we're bound to a Christless eternity. But the remedy is Christ. He made the difference. Or in the Philippines, many times you'll see churches up above in the mountain. And leading up to that mountain are steps made out of stones. And so many people many times will see on their knees praying the rosary and praying to a prayer book. And their knees will literally bleed. And trying to get up to the top, and they think that that would make a difference in their lives. I remember when I was 10 years old, I grew up, our family was Catholic, and I remember even as a 10-year-old wondering about heaven, and we were told in a church that if our good works would just outweigh our bad works, God will allow us into heaven, and I tried. You know, even as a 10-year-old, and feeling very frustrated because I tried to be good, but But I knew that I was bound to fail, and I started to pray. I grew up a very sickly child, and in every Filipino household in the Philippines, and especially the Catholics, they would have a picture of Jesus. It's like plastered on wood, and it's green, and it's got they call it the Sacred Heart of Christ, and everybody would have that. And I remember as a 10-year-old praying and saying this, and I was very sickly, and I was sick that day, and I said, God, if you're real, can you just show me that you're real? And when I was 15 years old, immigrated to Canada, just arrived in Vancouver, God answered that question. Somebody knocked on our door and invited, through different circumstances, somebody invited us to church and showed me, my youth pastor took me out, showed me exactly from the Bible how I can get saved. And I remember that moment that I prayed when I was 10 years old. And it's sort of like a light came on. And yes, it makes sense that we can never earn our way to heaven. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's not about religion, and it's not about being religious. It's not even being a part of a church or being baptized into some church. It's not even being a good person. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting of the finished work of the Lord in the cross of Calvary. And I don't know where you are today and what your situation, but the fact of the matter is, Jesus is the answer. And a lot of people would try to get answers for their problems and try to do different things. And many times people just don't know where to turn. But the answer's right there in the Bible. And the Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we see this woman who had real distress. And when we meet Christ at the crossroad, it alleviates our distress. And the only answer for her distress, her real distress, is not the we see the symptoms, but the root of it is sin. And so we see, secondly, that when we meet Christ at the crossroad, it alleviates our distress, but also it achieves the difficult in our lives. In verse 14, we see that God, the Lord, was about to perform one of His greatest miracles and raising this young man. And while I believe that a lot of things in the Bible that we see, especially the miracles, I believe that God's still the God of miracles, and He can still heal, and He can still do. We can raise us from our sickness, and He can still mend our brokenness, but not the way that we see today on TV, and it's like miracle on demand, you know. But I believe that He still does. Miracles in our lives. And if you're saved today, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, you've been passed from death unto life, and you are a new creature when you have Christ, and God has transformed you and has seated you in heavenly places. So if you are saved today, you're a walking, breathing miracle of Jesus Christ. And I believe God still will want to do those kind of miracles in our lives. But as we live for the Lord, God wants to bless us, and God wants to use us in our lives, and God wants to do the miraculous in our lives. He wants to achieve the difficult. I believe that God, the Lord, is the answer for broken hearts, for broken relationships, and the Lord's the answer to our distress and to our lack of joy and lack of satisfaction in this world today. But in order for Him to do that, number one, in verse 14, we see that we need the touch of God. We see that the Lord reached into this young man in verse 14, and He came and touched the bier, and the bear him stood still and said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And without the Lord Jesus Christ, and I just imagine if the Lord wasn't there, or He never approached this man, he would never been able to raise him. But you know, in order for God to do, we meet Christ at the cross, it achieves the difficult, but we need God's touch in our lives. Many times, a lot of people will come for counseling in our ministry, and a lot of them are already born-again Christians. And the first questions I would always ask is, how should you walk with God? How's your relationship with the Lord? Are you following what the Bible says in your life? And many times these are people that have distress in their lives. They have broken relationships and so on. And about 99% of the time, the answer is obvious. And they're not really, don't have the touch of God in their lives. And they're not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in their lives. And they don't have the allowing God to work through them. But here, in order for the Lord to come and do his work, and in order for the Lord to do the miraculous, he had to reach and he had to touch. I wonder today, do you have the touch of God in your life? It's not about being, an elite Christian. It's about just obeying the word of God, just obeying the things in the word of God and living for the Lord, the touch of God. And you know what? Many times there's a lot of things in the Bible that would not make sense to us or to this world. It's illogical, but nonetheless, it is the Word of God. There's a lot. If you're a Christian today, you know there are a lot of things that the Lord commands us, and the different things that He allows in our church, that the world will look at that and say that doesn't make sense. But we know that we need to walk in faith and trust the Lord and obey His word. We see the reach of Christ was needed, but notice the response of the crowd. And they that bear Him, the Bible says in verse 14, stood still. They stood still. And many times, again, as a Christian or even as a lost person, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, many times we try our best to do our best, but many times God just wants us to stop, to drop all those things, and perhaps even to just say, Lord, just show me from the Word of God what you want me to do. Can you imagine the situation? And sometimes when I read the Bible, I like to place myself in there and try to play scenarios in my head. And can you imagine that if those young men never stopped? The Bible didn't indicate that they knew the Lord or they knew about Jesus Christ. And they probably saw him as just this strange man coming towards them. Just imagine if they never stopped. And you say, you know what? We're trying to do our job. We're just trying to live our life. Leave us alone. Let us do what we're supposed to do. And sadly, many people today, the reason that they have that distress and the reason there's no joy is because they just want to go along in their lives and they don't really put God first in their lives and they don't want to obey what the word of God says. Notice the response of the crowd. They stood still. They stood still. You know, I find that many times in my life that the times that the Lord would speak and through His Word and through the Holy Spirit is when I'm standing still. When I say, Lord, okay, what do you want me to do with my life? What do you want me to do in this situation? The response of the crowd. But notice the result of His command in verse 15. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. You know, there's no telling when you and I give our 100% to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, can you imagine if they said, you know, just leave us alone. You know, I don't know who you are, why you come over here. If they never stop, this young man would never be raised. The result. And yes, I understand that many times that the Lord does allow difficult times in our lives. But nonetheless, God wants to work even through those things. But lastly, this morning, we see not only that when we meet Christ at the crossroad, He alleviates our distress, He achieves the difficult. But thirdly, and lastly, we see in verse 15, it alters our destiny. It alters our destiny. And again, imagine the situation here. Basically, it's a funeral procession. And this woman that was carrying, that obviously in distress and lost her husband, and there are other people with her, much people, and perhaps they're just trying to do their best to try to comfort her. And they were heading to, literally, to just bury and just to kind of, find some sort of a closure in their lives. And all of a sudden, it altered the destiny. You see, when you give Christ your Savior, if you're not saved today, when you repent of your sin and when you trust Him as your personal Savior, it'll alter your destiny, your eternal destiny for sure. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. You see, Jesus Christ came to give us eternal life. I know this is a season here of Christmas, and a lot of people are many sometimes caught up with the commercialization of Christmas, and many times a lot of people are not thinking about the real reason for the season. And I don't want to overuse that statement, but Jesus Christ is the reason for the season. And he is, when he came from the cradle to the cross, he had you and I in mind. And when I imagine Mary looking down on that baby, that innocent little baby, and that was just born, and knowing that this baby will grow up someday and would hang on the cross and pay for the sins of this world. And that's what he did. And he paid for your sins and mine. And when you have Christ, when you meet Christ at the cross, Lord, he'll alter your destiny. Because we have a destiny. That's a reality. And my shop teacher, I went to public school. And my shop teacher, I don't know if you've ever had this kind of teacher in public school. And he's just a kind of straight up kind of guy, you know. He's a little bit rough in the edges, but he'll tell you like what when he tell you things. He doesn't sugarcoat it. I remember learning this statement from him. I'm sure it's not original from him, but he said there are only two things that are for sure in life. Number one, you have to pay taxes. Number two, you die. And he's a straight up kind of guy, and he's right, because we have a destiny. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I have come that ye may have life. He came so that we don't have to spend eternity in a Christless hell. He came to pay for your sin death and for mine. And he came to forgive us of our sin. That's the reality of the eternal destiny. But also, God has a purpose in our life. And here, a young man that was raised, and he came and he began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. What a day. Can you imagine? A funeral procession turned into a different type of celebration. And you know, that's the kind of difference God wants to make in your life. I don't know where you're at today in your life. I don't know if you try to go to church, or perhaps you're a visitor today, you don't know Christ as your Savior. I want to tell you today that Jesus Christ can make a difference in your life. And if you're a Christian today, perhaps going to some difficult things in your life right now, and even in the heels and of just coming off of the restriction in the last 2 years, perhaps that has altered your life and that has changed your outlook or your life. But you know, the Lord wants you to be with this crowd. And you've been living here. Perhaps something happened in your life. There was a time that you had that joy. There was a time that you were serving God. And there was a time that you were reading your Bible. And you were just excited to be in church, excited to be serving God. But something happened in your life. You were hurt, or you were sidelined a little bit. And all of a sudden, you end up over here in this crowd. From this point of view, it may look like the world is having a lot of fun, and it may look like they're having a lot of pleasure, and the Bible does say that there is pleasure in sin for a season. And but perhaps you're here today, and you say, "I'm tired of being here. I know there's no joy here. This leads to a dead end, so to speak." I'll close with this story. The Bible describes the Lord Jesus Christ, gives us a parable, and you know it's very familiar. It's the prodigal son. And we do know that in this parable, the Lord teaches us that there was a son that came to his father and said, "Father, you know, give me my inheritance." And in a Jewish context, in their culture, that's like saying, "Father, in my heart, in my mind, you're dead already. So give me what I deserve, or give me my inheritance." And he took his inheritance and he went into the world. And as long as there was money, there was fun. As long as there was money, there were friends. But when the money ran out, so did the friends and the fun. And long story short, he ended up trying to work and trying to survive, living among pigs. And again, a very basic knowledge of Jewish culture, that for a Jew to be working among the swine, among the pigs, that's the lowest of the low. And he realized that this is no fun. And he remembered that in his father's house, that even the servants was treated better than this, and he had a change of heart, he had a change of mind, and he returned back to his father. And as we look at that story again, and we see that as he returned, and he was kind of rehearsing in that passage that what he's going to say to his father. But when he showed up, the father had been there. He saw him from afar off, and the Bible says that he ran to him and kissed him and embraced him and welcomed him. And he said, you know what, we're going to have a celebration tonight. He gave him his robe, he gave him his ring, and he said, that my son that was lost but is now found, and that was dead is now alive. And we know that's really a picture of our lives. Maybe, Christian, you've been here. You've been trying to live a life and trying to pretend everything is okay and pretend that everything's going smoothly, but you know it's not. God says, I want you to come. You know, it's amazing about that passage, and we can, you know, that the Father had been waiting. He had been waiting. And again, if you're not saved today, the Bible says, the Lord said that I stand and knock at the door. He said, all you have to do is open your heart to him. If you're a Christian today, you know the Lord Jesus Christ wants you back to come into that path in your life that he had already ordained for your life. A life, again, not void of any problems, not void of any kind of difficulties, but a life that is walking in peace and walking, having that joy in Christ. Where are you at? What kind of crossroad are you facing today in your life? I want to leave you with this thought again that I've said all over and over again, that only Christ can make the difference. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for today. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to preach, and Lord, just simply